You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, June 27th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the other different platforms out there. Thanks for starting your day and wrapping up your week right here. Can you believe the 4th of July is just 1 week away? Got a question for you. Will Greg Bach be surprised at what my sleep specialist told me yesterday? After all, this is the guy who's been hounding me for the past couple of months to start using a CPAP machine. But what did the sleep specialist say that I need to do? We will get Greg's reaction when he comes around for today's history lesson in just under 45 minutes. Got another question for you. Would you like to win some Brewers tickets? It is Free Ticket Friday. You can use the app to text us the keyword. And if your name is drawn in a statewide contest, you will win tickets to a specific Brewers game. And here's the thing, unlike the previous contest, which was just during the 7 a.m. hour, you're going to hear about this through the whole show from now through 9 a.m., so you can be one of the very, very first to use the Civic Media app, text in this keyword, and be eligible for tickets. Now, the game, the four tickets are for this Sunday's game against Colorado. So if you don't have plans for Sunday yet, if you can get to American Family Field for a 1-10 game with the Rockies, and you want four really good tickets, well, put yourself in the drawing here and text us this keyword, park, P-A-R-K, park, like take me out to the ballpark. That's got to be the first word in the text or preferably the only word in the text using the Civic Media app, park, P-A-R-K, and you'll be eligible for tickets to Sunday afternoon's game, Brewers versus the Colorado Rockies. We'll remind you of that throughout the course of the Friday morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And there we go. Judy in East Troy, first one on. Michael in Tosa, second one in. Tom in West Dallas is your bronze medal winner. Everybody else, just keep them coming in. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Were you hearing all those bings just now as they came in?
No.
Okay, good. I couldn't remember. I don't know which ones come in my headphones and which ones came off the computer speaker, and I thought, oh, that would be... If you start hearing bing after bing after bing after bing.
Free Ticket Friday, baby. They're coming in hot.
Yes, they are. Look at that go. So anyway, how are you? You got a weekend plan of Mallards games, I would imagine?
Oh, yeah. I've got game tonight, doubleheader tomorrow, and I am going to sleep from roughly 12 to 12 on Sunday.
Well, that's a perfectly fine plan. Yes. So if people go to a Mallards game, will they be able to see you, what you're doing, or are you like way behind the scenes or what?
You might spot me if I'm on the first base and third base cameras are on the field.
Yeah.
They're like kind of tucked next to the dugout. So you'd be able to see me there probably. Okay. If you happen to look up into the press box, you can probably spot me if I'm on that camera. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're thinking about coming down, give me a wave. Maybe I'll put you on the video board.
Well, I mean, anybody can wave at you. Can we find a way that, like, a secret sign that if you wave at Parker a certain way and he waves back? Take a look at your fingers. Let's do the one, not the ring finger, but the one between the index finger and the ring finger. If you wave that finger at Parker and he waves it back, then you'll know. That was kind of like the secret sign. It's like the secret show during the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
That's our secret sign, is just give that special wave to Parker.
I'm sure all of my call workers would love that.
All it takes is one. If there's one listener that happens to catch that it's you, or some poor fan is going to go around doing that special wave to like everybody working at the stadium, hoping somebody waves back at him. Please don't do that.
Oh, God.
Please don't do
that. I have a friend that works for the Mallards and would get a real kick out of that, actually.
Okay,
so
we'd better not share that then. So. hey, along with texting us the keyword, which again is park, or did I not say that right? Oh, Tony, we might have some listeners from Boston. The word is park.
Park.
So there you go.
Out of the park.
Roger in Stevens Point puts on Facebook, it is National Sunglasses Day. Wear those shades. It's also National Onion Day. Please don't cry. Yeah, I know he's not talking about the funny newspaper here.
No.
And Tony's now saying, I want to drive across the state to go to a Mallards game right now.
I will see you tonight, Tony.
Yep. It's just a short drive from Ashland to Madison.
Yeah.
But anyway, along with texting us the keyword, you can use that Civic Media app to reach out to us as well. You can also put something in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube, and our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Oh, and a voice note, too. We've got somebody sent us a voicemail.
Somebody did send us.
We're going to play right after the next commercial break here. So we'll look forward to that. Busy day across the Civic Media Radio Network today. A busy day for Up North News as well. Let's see. Coming up on Civic Media, the Maggie Dawn Show at 4 o'clock. Jim Santel will be the guest host. Jim Santel, the guy that's going to be here later today. But when he's guest hosting with Maggie Dawn at 4:30, he's going to be talking to another former U.S. attorney, John Vaudreuil. So tune in to that for the Maggie Dawn Show. On our program today, we will have, of course, our Week in Review panel, which also includes Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. Jim Santel will take us through a flurry of U.S. Supreme Court opinions being issued in the final days of the session, some of which really reaffirm how extreme the right-wing justices are taking American law. We'll also talk about how the Trump White House wants those pesky reporters to focus on the big boom, boom of the bombs in Iran and not whether the big bombs actually did what they said they were going to do. Coming up a little later this hour, we're joined by Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil. We're going to find out what's all the hype about the New York City mayor's race. And the candidate who won this week's primary, Zoran Mamdani. He is either a refreshing breath of fresh air and authenticity, or he is a clear and present danger to Gotham City, depending on who you talk to. We'll talk about how President Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill is unpopular with the public as we review new polling numbers from Marquette and from Quinnipiac. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Emily Cephos will join me and Dr. Kristen Lyerly to talk about her new column at Dan Schaefer's website, The Recombobulation Area, which calls on Governor Tony Evers to use all the tools at his disposal to get a good state budget. There's the bully pulpit, there's the veto pen, there's the trust of the people. She and others want Governor Evers to define a standard that supports education, childcare, healthcare, and more, and veto a budget that falls short rather than trying to fix it with partial vetoes. And so that, again, is coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Over at Up North News, of course, you can sign up for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. In the newsletter today includes a link to a website article called Fantastic 4th of July Fireworks Shows Across Wisconsin. It's a very nice rundown of fireworks shows across the state. So again, you can get the link to it in the newsletter or head over to our website and look for it there. On our social media sites, and if you haven't been on social media for Up North News, just search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI and you'll find us that much easier. And Selena Heller, once again, one of her annual duties in the city of Eau Claire is to help be a host for the Blue Angels and others when they come to town to do an air show. And there's going to be an air show in Eau Claire this week. So Selena has been with the Blue Angels. I am roughly 10, 12 miles north of the Chippewa Valley Airport. And so I don't exactly have a front row seat to the air show, but it's not a bad seat. You could just, right out my window here, looking to the south, you can just see all these jets, the Blue Angels and others, as they make their passes. They come way up here to turn around and then head back down toward the airport. Yesterday, even as the rain and thunderstorms were moving in, it was super loud. And it was overcast, so you couldn't see the planes. So I thought, well, either the Blue Angels are in town or Iran has figured out a backdoor way to get here, and we are in big trouble. Thankfully, I knew the Blue Angels were in town. So it wasn't going to be that. So
what are those F-16s? Do you know?
I don't know. I would assume so.
Okay.
Because they definitely sound different than the F-35s, the newer ones.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Right. Again, which I know folks in Madison are all too familiar with. Alicia putting up on YouTube, U.S. Naval Aviation, the best in the world. Just a little pride there. And she notes FA-18s. So okay. Thank you for that. Tony's also very happy that Emily Cephos is coming in. And Alicia notes, I am so jealous. So, yeah, we've got a good slate that's coming up here today, along with that air show. And Selena always has a good time. She did say she could maybe hook me up with a ride along on like one of the planes, not the Blue Angels, but like one of the other planes there. And I politely declined. I might be the first media person to decline a media invitation for a ride like that, but there's no way.
That'd be so cool.
For everybody else.
Pat, can you imagine doing a show live from a Blue Angel?
No, I absolutely cannot.
I would pay to see you do that.
I would pay almost anything not to have to. So, you know, we all have. Yep. So Tony says, that's a video for social. You said no. Yes. And Alicia said, hey, I will take your seat. A lot of other great people, worthy people. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to, you know, have people see this morning's sausage and eggs and hash browns all over the windshield of one of their nice little airplanes here. So speaking of stuff that I had for breakfast and such, one more note on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. The Sporkies and the Drinkies, the finalists, have been announced for the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sporkies and the Drinkies?
I am not. Please.
It's a contest for the best new creative, innovative foods, you know, food on a stick and all the other different ways to. Well, here, I could actually call up the thing here and tell you about a couple of the finalists. And anyway, this is a Wisconsin State Fair tradition. So let's see. There is the Blueberry Breakfast Bratwurst from the Milwaukee Brat House. It's a Usinger's blueberry-infused brat inside a flapjack with sweet and smoky house-made bourbon bacon jam. Oh. And remember, just yesterday, we were talking about strawberry brats at the Strawberry Festival in Cedarburg, right?
Yeah, and on Todd's show yesterday, he was doing what's worse, brats or burgers.
Oh, okay. Well, so you can try the blueberry breakfast brat.
I guess.
Here's the Hunka Hunka Elvis Donut Ice Cream Sandwich from Badger Bites. It's a Greeby's Bismarck donut stuffed with Fat Elvis ice cream, which is banana ice cream swirled with salty peanut butter ripple and chocolate chips, topped with chocolate and peanut butter sauce, crispy bacon, and powdered sugar.
Oh, boy. That's
there's Mexican street corn pizza. There's a pepperoni pizza brat. There's s'mores churro fries.
Oh.
And more. And then the drinkies, there's the dirty pancake from the Buzzy Badger. It's root beer mixed with vanilla creamer and maple syrup, brown sugar, and popping boba, topped with whipped cream. The straw is lined with mini pancakes. Okay. And then there's the Purple Rain Refresher from the Rock and Roll Beer Garden, a mix of Concord grape juice, tart lemonade, grapefruit soda, topped with edible glitter and Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks. Anyway, I haven't had Pop Rocks in a minute. Wow.
I know. So many more to read up on. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com and find out more about the finalists for the Drinkies and the Sporkies for the Wisconsin State Fair. Coming up real soon here. All right, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your Friday mornings. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. So kick back, relax, enjoy, and maybe even engage.
I love it. There's our newest voice note, which you can use the voice note feature on the Civic Media app. Record us a message. It could be a comment. It could be a question. It could be like that. It could be introducing the segment, introduce the show, introduce the segment. Doesn't even have to be me.
Maybe even engage.
Maybe even engage like that. Maybe put a comment. I don't know. Maybe it could be introducing somebody else. You could introduce Dr. Kristen Lyerly or Mike Clemens or somebody like that. Brittany Merlot, who's getting an early start to the weekend. So hopefully we'll talk to her on Monday and hopefully she has a nice weekend. Alicia notes that was awesome. And Tony on YouTube, Pat Kreitlow's on engage. Well, if you want to, if you care to engage, you can use that voice note feature on the Civic Media app. We would love to hear from you. In sports, the Brewers were off yesterday. They begin a 3-game series at home against the Colorado Rockies. So that would be coming up. Oh, look at me. I forgot my start times on here. I forgot to put those in. Today, it's the Colorado Rockies. 7:10 would be the first pitch, which tells me that the pregame is tonight, 6:35 tonight on several Civic Media stations. And the Milwaukee Bucks, in the second round of the NBA draft, they had the 47th overall pick in the second round, and they picked up Bogoljub Marković from Serbia. Mike Clemens will have more to say about that coming up around 8:30 here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's check out some polling, and I know I've mentioned a few times I'm not a big polling fan when it comes to election time. You know, that horse race stuff. I'd rather get into what do the candidates, you know, stand for, what do they say, and all that. This is more about positions. Both the Marquette Law School poll and Quinnipiac University have done some polling on various issues that are out there. Now, I do know that there's been talk about the 55% of respondents who say they don't want Governor Tony Evers to run for a third term. But again, that's quite split by party. Among Democrats, 83% think he should run for a third term. And frankly, Scott Walker had less Republican support for a third term back in 2018. Now, 2/3 of voters in the survey said marijuana should be made legal in Wisconsin. That support typically has hovered in the mid-60% range. There's also support for a good-sized tax cut in the budget, although I think this is interesting. We usually talk about Wisconsin being divided in half, right and left. What to do with the surplus is your classic, we're divided evenly into thirds. I mean, seriously, like about 1/3 each want to do one of 3 different things. 1/3 want nearly all of it returned through tax cuts. Another 1/3, probably on the Democratic side, wanted very little in tax cuts, put it into schools and roads and things like that. And then about 1/3 of them wanted half and half. So there you go with a $4 billion surplus. Again, there's ways to get a win-win out of this. The Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting today in a marathon session. And then it sounds like one house, maybe the assembly, will try to pass the budget on Monday and the Senate on Tuesday, something like that. Why are they suddenly passing it? Why are they suddenly interested? Because of that Supreme Court decision the other day that says Republicans can really micromanage some of the money. They can create a slush fund in the Joint Finance Committee to hide some of the money. So Republicans are now in a hurry, based on that court decision, to pass a budget up to, you know, the way that they want it. And then the pressure goes on Governor Evers to either go along with it because there was enough compromise or to veto the whole thing if he can't fix it with partial vetoes. And, you know, my guess is that if he vetoes the whole thing, Republicans won't start over. They'll say, fine, we just won't have a new budget at all. The old budget will carry over, which I think has some political risks in it, but that's Wisconsin politics for you. There is bipartisan interest in allowing citizens to bring forward ballot questions if you collect enough signatures on petitions. About half the states have that, but Wisconsin is not one of them, where you can have a citizen-led statewide referendum. 2/3 support postpartum Medicaid expansion. Again, 2 out of 3 people support expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to a full year. Wisconsin is now one of only 2 states that doesn't do that. Nearly 90% of people surveyed by the Marquette poll support banning cell phones in classrooms. I can't believe that we're even still talking about this, but yes, we are. Meanwhile, over in the Quinnipiac poll, there has been a real swing of public opinion when it comes to undocumented immigrants. About 6 months ago, about 55% of voters said they supported giving most undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status. That has now shot up to nearly two-thirds of voters support giving undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status as opposed to just deportation. In other words, Americans have seen what the Trump administration is doing with secret police and raiding on people who have not violated the law at all and who are playing a role in society, and this is what they think of it. Trump's approval numbers are down as a result as well. But here's the one that really gets me the most. Given a list of 9 issues and asked which is the most urgent one facing the country today, the number one issue right now is preserving democracy in the United States. Now, all throughout last year, Democrats tried to say that, and they were constantly told people do not care about democracy. They care about inflation. They care about healthcare. Don't talk about preserving democracy. It's a non-starter. Now, all of a sudden, people are interested in preserving democracy. In other words, we told you so. We told you that this was coming, that this is the clear and present danger that Donald Trump is posing and continues to prove it every single day. I'm glad Americans are now paying attention and concerned about it. Wish it had been this way last year. Kia Vakil is coming up next from Courier Newsroom. And then don't forget, Nightlight with Pete Schwab tonight. It's Bar Band Friday starting at 6 p.m. More after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a happy Friday when we get back into the routine here, which, of course, on Fridays kicks off with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil joining us from Los Angeles. Kia, hello. How are you?
Hello, Pat. I am well. Rested and not experiencing a heat wave like the rest of the country.
No. We already had our turn. They're getting it out east. And hopefully, you know, next weekend, when we will not be talking next week because it'll be the 4th of July on Friday, but hopefully everybody has some good weather. What does one do in Los Angeles on the 4th of July? Do you have plans?
I don't know. It tends to be one of those days where a lot of people go to the beach and do irresponsible things. So I don't know that I'll join, but yeah, you know, I'll probably just relax and have a good day and maybe barbecue.
All right, so from Los Angeles, let us start in New York City, because sure. As we look at this week's national headlines, I have to admit, and you know me, I like to follow news, but there's been a lot of news lately, and I just have not paid attention to this New York City mayoral race, the first round of the primary that was this week. Yep. So can you tell us about the person who may be the next mayor of New York City?
Yeah, so Zoran Mamdani is a 33-year-old state assemblyman in New York City who just won the Democratic primary for mayor's race, beating Andrew Cuomo, you know, the famously corrupt, famously drummed out as governor after, you know, being accused of harassment by more than a dozen women, tried to do a comeback and ran a thoroughly uninspiring, thoroughly cynical campaign, whereas Zoran, who I am ashamed to say is 2 weeks younger than me, ran a campaign that was honestly, this is going to sound hyperbolic, but the best campaign I've ever seen.
Wow.
And he essentially was outside of like his district was known to nobody, in November, but you know, he launched, I think in December or January, but you know, he was the guy who right after the election, he went out on the streets of New York and talk to voters who voted for Donald Trump and ask them why. And in a curious way, not in a condescending way, he went and talked to a lot of voters who voted for Trump and AOC. And, you know, the answer in most cases was affordability because things are expensive. And that's the case everywhere, not just in New York, but especially in New York. And his campaign focused on one message. It was on making New York a city that people who live there can afford. And I think that resonates with anyone across this country, whether in New York or LA or Wisconsin or Texas or Arkansas. Things have gotten more expensive, whether it's your rent or your food or your health care, your kids' child care, your groceries. And he ran relentlessly focused on that message. He ran on making public buses free. He ran on free child care. He ran on helping small businesses avoid bureaucratic regulations like halal carts that have to pay $22,000 to get a permit. He is just a happy warrior. And I'm that is not me personally, but like he is just an overly positive guy who you can tell he also has gotten a ton of praise recently for his campaign videos and his social media presence. And that is well-deserved praise, but it's because he's authentically himself. They put out videos almost every single day for the past 6 months. And you can only do that when you are really yourself and you're not scripted and you're just being a real human. And that really pays off. And you believe him when he talks about the things he believes in. And I don't think that's like he's obviously, you know, the thing he's getting knocked on is he's a democratic socialist, just like Bernie Sanders, just like AOC. And so you see a lot of, you know, corporate Democrat types or centrist Democrats being terrified of that. But the lesson is not just, oh, go be a socialist. It's also not go be a centrist. It's go actually say things you believe in and stand for something and just campaign on that. Don't be afraid of voters. Don't be afraid of talking to them. Don't hole up and not talk to media. Zoran went everywhere. He talked to everyone. He was asked uncomfortable questions all the time, and he answered them, and he won.
I have mentioned on the program previously that Milwaukee had, I believe, three socialist mayors about a century ago, described as sewer socialists, because very practical. What do we need to get done? We need to fix the sewers. They did it. They ran on it. They won. They accomplished things.
Yep.
Now I want to have a little fun with the history books here, because you said something. And I was about to say, this guy sure reminds me of somebody else. When you said happy warrior, was it by design with somebody in mind from history?
It was not.
Happy warrior was the nickname given to former vice president and Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey, the guy that basically inspired me to go into politics. And even before you said happy warrior, I was about to invoke Hubert Humphrey's name because nobody knew him until he decided to hit the streets of Minneapolis and run for mayor. He came out of nowhere, got to be mayor of Minneapolis, and then a national figure, a senator, a vice president. So when you described Mamdani here as a happy warrior and everything that you said about him, I can see that there can be some big things ahead of him. But first, I do have to ask this question because we think of New York as, you know, blue and New York City as blue, but does the kind of division that we saw with the centrist Democrats and others, does that open the door for a Republican nominee, whoever that is, to come in and win?
So New York is funny in that it doesn't have a sore loser law, which means if you ran in the primary and lost, you can still run on another party's ticket. So Andrew Cuomo, if he wanted to, he could run on some arbitrary third party ticket. Eric Adams, who's the incumbent mayor, who was, you know, famously was under DOJ prosecution that then got dropped by the Trump administration. He's running as an independent. There is a Republican gadfly candidate who runs every 4 years. So yes, it could get kind of weird and messy if Cuomo runs, but you know, he got thoroughly beaten by Mamdani, and you're already seeing some of those hedge fund types say we're going to drop $100 million in and make sure Mamdani doesn't win. I'm pretty, you know, I'm a cynic of politics, and even I think it's a huge long shot that that's going to work. And what we're really seeing right now is, like, I don't think Mamdani means, like, socialism is suddenly in. I think he means you have to just talk. And I think the thing is Democratic-based voters are so alienated from their leaders right now and feel so let down by them that they want change. And the people who are promising change, whether they are more moderate or more progressive, are going to win. That's not to say that policy doesn't matter. I absolutely think it does. I think a lot of progressive policies are extremely popular. I think free childcare would poll extraordinarily well in pretty much every state and district in this country. And so I think it's not purely ideology. It's not purely vibes. It's both. And if you can promise to be a change candidate and offer up good policies and be yourself, whether you're slightly more center left or whether you are a democratic socialist, I think you've got an opening next year and this year, because people really want change and are disappointed in the elder party members right now.
Yeah, very much. So yes, authenticity, it's rare and it's wonderful.
Quite a concept.
When it does show up. Exactly. Let's move down to the mega bill. I guess that's what the New York Times is calling it now, as opposed to the big bloated boondoggle or whatever else you want to call it. But what came out of the House has to go to the Senate, and what is in the Senate right now, we already knew the bill was going to change somehow. Yep. But I think few people understand who or what the Senate parliamentarian does. But the bottom line is there are these rules in the Senate. Some are quite arcane. Some are useful. And if the parliamentarian says these things have to come out of the bill if you want to skip the filibuster, these things have to come out of the bill. And it's not one or two things. It's some of the centerpieces of the Trump tax plan legislation.
Yeah, and they are like really in the weeds policies on primarily around Medicaid and Medicare, where they were trying to essentially, remove. There's a certain kind of tax that it's called a provider tax. They were trying to restrict that tax, which would have cost states money for Medicaid and then providers, hospitals money. That got ruled out. They are trying to restrict immigrants' access to Medicaid and Medicare. Those got ruled out. They were trying to restrict certain other like tax credits for immigrants. Those got ruled out. There's a whole bunch of other things. And that does not mean versions of that might not end up in the final bill, but the current versions in the bill text were struck down by the parliamentarian. The parliamentarian's kind of like a referee of the Senate who's like, yeah, you can do this. No, you can't do that. And so this is a person who's been in this role, Elizabeth McDonough, for as long as I've been at Courier Newsroom, so 6+ years, and both parties trust her and respect her. It's kind of a weird arcane thing, but she also struck down certain provisions of student loan repayment and student loan Pell Grant changes. Oh, there's a whole bunch of immigration things she struck down. So there's just a lot of what this tells you is this bill was written is just an absolute mess and was written in a rush, was written by people who don't know what the hell they're doing, and who really don't care about Senate rules. And that sounds like the House, because that's the House. And, certain senators made some changes and clearly not good ones. So we'll see some changes. They'll still try to cut Medicaid by hundreds of billions of dollars because they apparently love to take healthcare away from people. But that's where we are right now.
It's just funny that these are the same folks who were all over the Affordable Care Act for it being so big and unwieldy, and everything that came through the Biden administration claiming it was big and unwieldy. And yet all of those were so much more tightly written and made sense. And again, that's not to say they were perfect by any stretch, but sure. We've seen this before in most recent memory. It was during the past efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. And they would slap things together that just did not make sense. So they're very good on the politics at election time, but they're just lousy on the policy when it comes to putting things together, it seems.
Well, yeah, and that's because ultimately, at the end of the day, their only real legislative priorities are tax cuts for corporations and billionaires, and boosted funding for ICE and Border Patrol. Those are the only two things that are proactive changes. The rest are cutting things. It's taking Medicaid away from people. It's taking food benefits away from people. It's putting rural hospitals on the brink of closure. If this sounds like a cartoonish exaggeration, I understand that. I assure you it's not. Like, this bill will devastate rural hospitals, will devastate millions of people on Medicaid. I've been on Medicaid before. A lot of people have spent time on Medicaid. It is a lifeline for people who are in between jobs, who are, are maybe just starting out in their careers. For the working poor, it is for the disabled, for seniors who, my dad was on Medicaid before he passed. Like, it covered his nursing home stay. It's, if you cut Medicaid, you are essentially resigning certain people to disease and possibly death. And that's what this bill does. And they're going to push forward on it. And, they might campaign on lowering costs come election season and pretend like they didn't cut Medicaid, but they're cutting Medicaid.
And then finally, from our sister outlet in New Hampshire, is a story about former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown. The yep. former Massachusetts senator is running for Senate, right? But in New Hampshire, not in Massachusetts. What?
Correct. So Scott Brown, who famously broke the, you know, after Ted Kennedy died, won the special election, I believe it was 2009 or 2010, and served a short term before losing to Elizabeth Warren. He's now running in New Hampshire, which, yes, it's close to Massachusetts, but it's a different state. He's carpetbagging. He's doing what Dr. Oz did. He's doing what a whole lot of people do when they are rich and Republican and want power, which is they move to a different state that's easier to win, or they think is easier to win, and try to run for Senate. And so, you know, we'll see if that works. I would hope the voters of New Hampshire recognize that, you know, what this recognize it for what it is. But, you know, you never know. Sometimes this sort of thing, it works out, unfortunately.
They can always come talk to the voters of Wisconsin about Tim Michaels or Eric Hovde. We can talk about people that wanted to come into Wisconsin and go, well, I can't win in California or New York, so I'll try here. It does not always work. Gabe Akil from Courier Newsroom, thank you so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thank you. You too.
We will have today's history lesson coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, congratulations. If you know what TV show this is from, you're old! Welcome to today's history lesson, where we salute Captain Kangaroo, Bob Keeshan, who was born this day in 1927, passed away in 2004. And Captain Kangaroo was how I started every morning as a little kid. Aired on CBS for what felt like a million years. Greg Bach is here as part of today's history lesson. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Did you have Captain Kangaroo growing up yourself, or a different kid show in the morning?
As Mr. Rogers' kid. That
Mr.
Was
Rogers?
My, yeah, that was my show growing up. I love that show.
I love, and I think we should do more about, the again, early TV, the local morning shows. You know, like in Eau Claire, we had Sheriff Bob, although I think his was an afternoon kid show. In the Twin Cities where I grew up, it was Clancy and Willie and Carmen the Nurse. I know there were children's characters on TV in Milwaukee, I'm sure in Green Bay and other places. It'd be fun
I don't
to do
remember
a
the,
wrap up.
I don't remember there being a local one. I did watch Bozo the Clown when I was a kid, too, and that was on WGN.
Oh,
we
had
Channel 9 in the morning.
And now we get to Parker's generation that just gets news.
I had Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's true.
You had Thomas. And the thing is Parker has like his generation has just too many to name. Like
I know.
But Bob the Builder, Thomas the Tank, Blue's Clues. Like it just go on and on and on.
It's a lot of channels.
Yeah, but I mean in terms of a local host, you know, on your local station, they don't have that the way that they used to.
No.
On this day in 1956 at Master Recorders in Hollywood, Fats Domino sat down at a piano in that studio, did a remake of a Gene Autry tune, and made a little history.
I found my thrill.
And if it's your song originally, if you're Gene Autry and you hear this, you go, yeah, that song's not mine anymore. It's all Fats Domino.
I'll enjoy the check.
But I'll enjoy the check from the royalties. That's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to country singer Lori Morgan. She is 66 years old today. Lori Morgan, 66 today, right in line with her six husbands throughout the course of her life so far.
Yeah.
She everybody talks about Tanya Tucker and what a party girl that she was. Mm-hmm. Give Lori Morgan her due, man.
I wonder if
she knows
it's her. She figured it out.
She was born Loretta Lynn Morgan in Nashville.
That's amazing.
Happy birthday to Gabriella Wilson. You know her as her.
I don't believe what you say. But I hate you on most days. You've been testing my faith.
You ever hear, I know you've heard me like during the Grammy Awards and things, and I'll hear some of these winners and I'll go, I should listen to some of these people more, some of these youngins. She's one of them.
Yeah, she's got great.
Her
puts out good stuff.
Now this one's a little awkward because it was on this day that a guy named Nelly released his debut album, Country Grammar, again on this day in 2000. It is one of the few rap albums to go diamond, selling over 10 million copies. And the thing that's kind of, not awkward, but just kind of funny or coincidental, isn't tonight the night that Nelly plays in concert after the Brewers game?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, yes.
Oh!
Because Chad Holmes mentioned that he's going down to the game tonight. And Chad Holmes isn't going to go to the Nelly concert.
I thought you were playing this just because this is the night of the Nelly concert.
Well, no, it was 25 years ago that he released his debut album.
Oh,
so there you go.
That's really funny.
I know. This is National Bingo Day, National Food Truck Day, Sunglasses Day, PTSD Awareness Day, and specifically for Greg and a few others, Drive Your Corvette to Work Day.
Ah, yes, indeed. Which Corvette? Shall I drive my Friday Corvette, or should I be sassy and drive my Tuesday Corvette?
Right. You've got a Corvette nowadays, you're not driving it to work. You know, that's your little weekend ride, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess enough drama here. It's been a while that Greg has been noting my alleged diagnosis of sleep apnea. I took a sleep test.
Yeah.
I had to wait 2 months to get in to see the sleep specialist and finally did that yesterday.
Okay.
All this time you were thinking I have to get a CPAP machine and get on that thing. I feel like Maury Povich. The results are in. Drum roll, please, Mr. Olson.
Live from Hollywood.
And the diagnosis is, I have sleep apnea, and I need to be on a CPAP machine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey.
It's, yes.
It's like, it's,
oh,
it's like Ross or Rachel, will they, won't they? Who knew? Oh, they did. Okay.
Oh, wait. Everybody figured it out.
So
yes.
Did they tell you, did they give you any information? Are they going to put the order in for you? What's the next steps?
They put the order in, and so I now have to go to a local respiratory business that I've seen advertised forever for like oxygen tanks and things like that, and they do CPAP machines, and they're going to get me fitted and everything else. So I got a prescription for a CPAP machine, and I've been reaching out to friends who have them to say, tell me again that this is going to be a good thing, right?
This is going to be an amazing thing. Okay, first of all, because I know we don't have much time left in this segment. Is it over over the face, or is it just nasal pillows? Do you know yet?
She made it sound like it was a mask thing because it was.
Right.
She said it was pretty bad.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm guaranteeing you right now, if you use it with regularity. Now, when I say regularity, I mean every day.
Yes.
Every day. You will notice a difference almost immediately. You will be brighter, more awake. The things that happen to you during the day, for me personally, like falling asleep during the day, like just falling asleep, stop tapping the next day.
See, and it is, and I truly mean this, and I want to say this on the air, it is your energy about this and your story that has motivated me. I may not have followed up on it if it weren't for you. So thank you,
my friend. Well, I'm glad. That makes me happy.
All right. Much more ahead in these next 2 hours of these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.